join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with the value of faith.
You persisting in faith pleases God. It was Abel's faith that pleased God. Hebrews 11:4 tells us by Abel, he said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I'm teaching about this now, but I stumbled across it in doing an offering exhortation a couple weeks ago. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, we know the Bible says that in the process of time, Cain and Abel, two brothers, they both brought sacrifice before the Lord. And the Bible says that Abel brought the firstling, or the best. The first and the best. And the Bible says that Cain brought an offering. An offering. In other words, he brought God S-U-P-U-M. Something. He brought God something. But Abel brought the best. How did he do that? It tells it by faith. Y'all like not catching this. You're not catching this. See, you got to have faith to give God what you want. You got to have faith to give God your best. And so Cain looks and says, well, I don't want this anyway. These greens got some worms in them. Got some holes in them. This ain't going to be good anyway. So let me give God this. But it was faith that caused Abel to say, I'm going to give God the first and the best. Does that sound like the tithe? It takes faith. To give God, when you say, no, I need this for this, I could do that for that, I'm going to give God what's left. Rather than giving God what's right and give God what's best. But his faith pleased God, that he honored God by putting him first. Enoch's faith pleased God. Yet the only thing that we definitively know about Enoch is that he had children at 65. If somebody around you look like they're 65 or older, tell them it ain't too late. Tell them! Yeah, it ain't too late. My grandson said, God can do it, you know. The only thing we definitively know about Enoch is that he had children at 65. And then the only other thing we know is that he walked with God for the next 300 years. He lived to be 365 years old, but he had children at 65 and he walked with God. And all we know beyond that is that he pleased God. We don't know about a building he built. We don't know about a book he wrote. We don't know about an organization he put together. We don't know about a school of the prophets that he started. We don't know anything about his prayers. All we know is that he had children and he walked with God. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He had the first personal rapture and was not found because God had translated him For before his translation, he had this testimony. This was God's testimony about Enoch, that he pleased God. More details about that. Genesis 5, 22 through 24. It says, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. You all know Methuselah. That's what grandma talked about. What grandma tell you about Methuselah? He older than Methuselah. Nobody knew how old he was because nobody looked at the Bible, but we know he was old. Okay? After he begat Methuselah, 300 years, and he had sons and daughters, verse 23, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And all says, Enoch walked with God, and it was not for God took him. Enoch pleased God. Listen to this. Don't miss this. He pleased God by merely walking with God. Not what he accomplished, but just by walking with God for 300 years. But okay, in order, some of y'all still ain't getting it. In order to get God's definition of walking, you got to go to Isaiah. Isaiah 40, 30, and 31, it says, even the youths, like on my cousin Vinny, the youths, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. Now, we know young people are supposed to be strong and be able to just keep walking. He says, but they that wait on the Lord, they'll renew their strength. They get super. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Read the next part with me. They shall walk and not faint. So God's definition of walking is to walk and not faint. You're not catching this. For 300 years, he walked with God and didn't faint. We can't get folks to walk with God for 300 days and not faint. What does faint mean? To give up, to cave in and quit. I ain't going to ask, I'm not going to ask anybody in here if you ever backslid. You know, and then some of us lie. Because there's degrees of backsliding. Because you think, well no, because I used to smoke reefer. I used to smoke weed. I ain't done that in about 10 years now. But you'd have thought about it. Okay. You didn't go in the club, but you drove up to it, and then you got convicted. Backsliding occurs in degrees. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I ain't missing the service. I'm here Sunday, Wednesday. I'm Sunday, Wednesday. Damn, well, you know, until Empire came on Wednesday. Then, you know, I mean, they're only there an hour. And now we got streaming. You backslid from Wednesday. Y'all don't like this. Don't leave now. We know it's you. Backslid. But he walked, all we know, he walked with God. The implication, he was consistent with God. He didn't waver in his faith. He wasn't up and down and, God, do you love me? And well, I'm going through something right now. How many of us pastors know how many times we done talk to people, well, I ain't seen you in a while, and their excuse is, I'm going through something. Like to all the rest of us who regularly come to church, we ain't going through nothing. How am I going through something right now? But we got our hips up in here. That's why I'm here, because I'm going through. If I didn't go to church, I might go under. So I gotta sit under the word so I can keep going through and not go under, because it's like a jungle sometimes. He walked with God. And that pleased God that for 300 years. He stayed with God consistently, walking and not being weary. So Enoch stayed with God. He didn't waver in his faith. Abraham pleased God by staying in faith. Look to your neighbor, say, stay in faith. Stay in faith. A lot of the time we waver. We're back and forth. He loves me not. I'm a tithe, maybe not. Well, I'm, you know, this time, Pastor, don't worry. I told the Lord this year, I'm really going to tithe. You've been saying that for the last 30 years. This year, this is my year to tithe. This is my year to live holy. This is my year to have a devotion life. This my year to start a prayer life. This my year to get involved in ministry and serve in some capacity. Okay? But pleasing God is staying with God. Romans 4, 18 through 22 tells about Abraham, who against hope, meaning when all the circumstances say, you must be crazy if you're still sticking with this then. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. This may have manifestation of because when God changed his name, he was the father of many nations. Abraham, he was Abram, father. Abraham means the father of many nations. And so every time he met somebody, he would say, what's your name? Father of many nations. Really? How many kids you got? None yet, but he was that when God said he was. Now he had to keep walking with God until what God said showed up in the natural. It happened when God said it. It happened when God declared it. Who against hope in the natural, believing hope that he might become, have manifestation of being father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. I was preaching this one time many years ago, and from these words here, he considered not his own body. The Lord said this to me, what I'm going to do with you has nothing to do with you. Come on, say that with me. Say, what God's going to do with me has nothing to do with me. In other words, not because I qualify. It's not because I'm worthy. What God's going to do with me has nothing to do with me. I was saying to one of the driver who drove me here, I said, we all say favor ain't fair. Say it again, favor. We all say favor ain't fair, long we the recipients of the favor. When you know you didn't deserve it and God did it, you say, child, favor ain't fair. Favor ain't fair. Because you know you didn't deserve it. But when you see somebody blessed who you don't think deserves to be blessed, and you know how ratchet they lived, and you know what they used to do because you used to do it with them, okay? And you see them getting blessed far beyond you, and you've been saved long, you've been faithful long, and you know how you live, and you say, I just, because we believe that God, we know God can bless who he wants to bless, and we know we're not worthy. But he blesses us because that's the grace of God. That's the favor of God. Well, that same favor will work on your enemy. Because favor ain't fair. Oh, yeah, that would worth you coming to this session right there. He considered not his own body. Because that was now dead when he was about 100. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So what God was going to do with them had nothing to do with their physical ability. He staggered not at the promise of unbelief. Unbelief causes you to stagger. Unbelief causes you to stumble. Unbelief causes you to stop walking with God. Unbelief causes you to get off track. Unbelief causes you to try it your own way. Unbelief causes you to stay home until you get yourself together rather than keep sitting under the word so the word can accelerate your deliverance. Boy, that was good right there. He staggered not the promises through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. And that was progressive. You're not full of anything to start. We're talking about being full of faith, right? Nobody's is born full of anything. Getting filled is a process. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? And then obviously some of it seeped out. Because you can read the next chapter and they came together again and they had another refilling. Filling is a process. Ephesians 5:18, I believe it says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled. Keep yourself in a state of constantly being filled. And so he had to become fully persuaded by continuing to walk with God and stay with God. If you want to get full of faith, you have to stay under the word. Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. God said, you righteous just by believing me. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work on it. Just by believing me, I call you righteous. I call you justified. Secondly, why is your faith valued? Because your faith is your victory. Say that. Say, my faith is my victory. Come on, encourage somebody around you. Tell them your faith is your victory. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever, which means whosoever, is born of God overcometh the world. For this is the victory, even our faith. My faith is the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. Come on, say it again. Say, my faith is my victory. So the devil is fighting you for your faith because your faith is the victory. Oh, come on now. See, you lose the victory before you lose the war. If you lost the victory, if you lose your victory, ain't no sense of keeping, no sense of fighting the war anymore. You got to hold on to your victory even when it looks like you're losing. Oh my God. Because my faith is my victory. Your victory reminds the devil that he was outmaneuvered. Your victory, which is your faith, reminds the devil that he was out strategized. Your victory, which is your faith, reminds the devil that he was outwitted at Calvary's cross. It's a cross for us, but the devil got double crossed. Some of y'all get that later. 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The devil thought he had Jesus and he got away. They were throwing a party down in the holding place of the soul in Hades. In Sheol. They were holding a party down there and all of a sudden there was a rumbling. Not understanding that Jesus had already prophesied in code, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto me. And that if you destroy this temple, watch, in 3 days there's going to be a rumbling. I'll build it back up again. I'll restore it again. That scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:55-57 says, oh death, where's your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. So by us maintaining our faith, it reminds the devil that we have the victory and he does not. Because the grave, because the cross stole the devil's victory and he gave the victory to us. Y'all aren't catching this here. So the devil fights you for your faith because he's a thief. He cometh not but for to steal, to kill and destroy. And he wants to steal your gift. By grace are you saved through faith. And that is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Y'all aren't catching it. The grace is the gift of God, but faith is also the gift of God because he's given to every man the measure of faith. So the devil is after your faith because faith is your victory, because he don't like the fact that you got a gift that he can't have. It was stolen for him. He had the victory, but Jesus took the victory and he gave us the victory. Y'all aren't catching this here. Faith is my victory. So 1 Corinthians 15:57 tells us what? So thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Took it from the devil, gave it to us. Took it from the devil, gave it to us. Took it from the devil, gave it to us. Took the keys from the devil and gave it to us. Ah, y'all aren't catching this yet. So the devil wants you to let go of your faith. He wants you to make shipwreck of your faith. He wants you to cast away your faith because he knows that your faith is your victory. As long as I got my faith, I got victory. If I don't have the car, I got my faith, I still got victory. Glory to God. Don't have the house, but I got my faith, I still got my victory. Because none of those things produce faith, but faith can produce all those things. So long as I got my faith, I got my victory. Come on, somebody give God praise that you still got your victory because you still got your faith. Come on, come on. Other people who are weaker than you, they let it go, but you went through and you came out with your faith. Come on, I went through my trial, but I came out with my faith. Yeah, I went through a bankruptcy, but I still got my faith. I went through a divorce, but I still got my faith. I went through chemo, but I still got my faith. I went through a mastectomy, but I still got my faith. I went through a foreclosure, but I still got my faith. Anybody here still got your faith? Then you still have your victory. Hallelujah. Still got my victory because I got my faith. And every time the devil see you shouting, despite the fact that you don't have manifestation, it reminds him that the victory was stolen from him. Every time the devil see you showing up at church, every time the devil sees you tithing, even though you could use that money for something else, it reminds him that you still got your victory because you got your faith. Faith is your confidence. That's why it's valued. It's your confidence. Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19, he says, I'm charging you, according to the prophecies went before you, war, a good warfare with those prophecies. Then he says in 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith. You only need to hold what somebody's trying to take from you. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some haven't put away. Concerning faith, they made shipwreck. Yeah, see, you got to think about it. He said the reason why some people never became anything in life is because they let their faith go. They start talking about where they was born and what their family didn't have and all that they went through in their past, and you don't know where I came from and you don't know what's been done to me. So they made shipwreck. Shipwreck means the ship's left the port, headed to a particular destination, but it never made it because they let their faith go. God, y'all, Paul says, I believe around in Acts 26, when they're after in the storm at sea, he said, listen, he said, whatever you do, just stay in the ship. He said, if you're going to make it, you got to stay in the ship. You can't jump out the ship into the water, because what God's going to get you through on the pieces of the ship. So some are on broken boards, others are on pieces of the ship. But we all made it because we didn't let go of what brought us this far. Y'all aren't listening to me. And so the devil wants you to let go of what you know brought you this far. My heart goes out and I actually get grieved. Over the years I see people and I know what God did in life. They know what God did in their life. We got people say, I came to this church, I got saved, got born again, and I went through the D3 class, I got my stuff, and I learned, and I got a house. I went through this, and we believe in God, and then I got in the Expect the Miracles class, and God blessed us with a child. You know, we was going through that. I didn't know what to do, and then Pastor Billy encouraged me. I could go back to school, and I stood in faith. I was able to get my degree, and then that God brought his faith that brought them this far, but now they're too busy walking in their harvest. They're too busy living in their manifestation that they forgot the God who brought them, and now they make shipwreck because they never reached the destination that God intended for them because they cast away their faith. Are y'all listening to me? You're going to say your faith is valuable. So as I was saying, faith is your confidence. So Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 tells us, don't you cast away your confidence. It means fling it away. Yesterday as I was leaving the office, when my financial advisor's insurance guy came by, and I knew he wanted to, every time he come, he won't talk a whole lot. So I went out the back door. And I drove around in the front, but I wanted to drive around the front so he could see I was on my way out. He there sitting down, hey, Pastor, I said, no, stand up. This ain't going to be no sit-down conversation. But he said to me, he looked at our new sanctuary we're going to build in our offices. He looked up, he said, it's going to be $5 million. I said, no, it's $5 million to start. We need $15 million. He said, oh, that ain't nothing for you. He said to me, that ain't nothing for you. And when he said that, he said, I've seen what you've done. He said, that's nothing for you. He got confidence in me. Catching that, you're not. He got confidence that I can build with 15 million, get that with no problem. And I just meditated on that all the way home. I said, he didn't even say nothing about God. If he says there ain't nothing for me, I ought to be saying there ain't nothing for God. Oh, come on now. Come on. I can't put more confidence in myself than I can do in God. So if a man can have confidence in me, then I can surely have confidence in God. Oh my God. Faith is your confidence. Let me start wrapping this up here. Oh Jesus. So the devil wants you to cast it away. He wants you to fling away your confidence. This is what he said to me. I said, so if you have just a million laying around anywhere, I could use a couple of them. And he said, well, listen, if you pray for me, I'll get it. He said, because I played the lottery. And I And I said, the devil's a lie. I rebuked that. And Jesus, I said, I pray you hit. He said, because Pastor, if I hit, I'll give you a couple million. I said, I pray you hit, Lord, Father, in Jesus' name. I ain't playing, he playing. See, some of y'all will miss out on your blessing, being so judgmental. Bless him, Jesus. Don't cast away. The reason why I thought about lottery, because the Bible says don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence. So if somebody gave you, somebody else, they got so convicted. And they say, I know this, the mega bus is up to 800 million this week. But after I got this and I saw this, my number, the Lord convicted me. I'm just going to give this to you. Because the Lord showed me I shouldn't have played. You're going to take, the devil's a lie. Let me get the match and burn this thing. Get this wicked lottery ticket away from me. The devil's a lie. No, you're not.
Are you running on empty? Get a faith boost with the Direction for Life Conference Series, Full of Faith. You'll receive powerful messages by Bishop Herbert Bailey, Dr. Marsha Bailey, Pastor Chandler Bailey, and ministry guests, Pastor Keon Henderson, Dr. Darius Daniels, and Bishop Joseph Walker. Order this powerful series today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to writedirection.info. Order the Direction for Life Conference Series, Full of Faith. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.